It's time for On the House. Each month, we take up topics related to our homes, whether flooring, painting, selling, buying, we learn together. Jesse Davis is our producer. He's a local real estate agent. Today, we're delving into building a house. Who have you brought in with you today, Jesse?
Well, I've got Sam Friesen from Woodworks Homes. And, you know, Sam's kind of, every time I bring someone in, I'm kind of selfish. You know, you talk about loving yourself. And of course, you know, the Bible says to love another, you must love yourself first.
Oh, sure.
You know.
We're going deep this
morning.
Wow. Well, you know.
Every show, you start off with a Bible verse.
That's true. I like to read from the book of Esther. Just because she's kind of a, you know.
Sure. Yes.
A hot mama.
But you didn't bring Esther in with you today.
No. I brought Sam in because we've got a really tight housing market right now. And people are out there. They got money, they want to buy something, and they're not finding what they think they want. I tell them, this is what you want, and they're like, no, we don't want that. And they want to build. And I just had a lot of these questions that are coming at me, and I couldn't answer, and I thought Sam would be great to have out here. Because, I mean, we are in the Northwoods. We've got beautiful places. We've got over 1,000 lakes here in Itasca County, more beyond. So you'd think, gosh, you know, there's all these wonderful spots to build a house, but there's also a lot of things that you need to take into consideration. So, Sam, we're just gonna welcome and we're gonna grill you and ask you questions.
And
yeah, you'll be sorry. So, when I was trying to cajole you into coming on the air, I said, "Oh, these are the questions you're gonna get all the time," and I bet the one you get the most is, "So, how much is it gonna cost, Sam?"
And
what do you tell people when they're like, oh, you know, how much is this going to cost?
Yeah, well, it like every builder will say, it really depends on what it is that you want, where you're building, and a lot of those.
Don't give me that it depends crap.
Yeah.
Come on.
But, you know, speaking generally, you know, there's a lot of base costs that you have in a house. You've got your well, septic, electric, your site prep, excavation, and those base costs. And those add up pretty quickly, too. It doesn't matter if you have a small home or a large home, you're going to be paying for those items.
Yeah, you got to have a driveway to it.
Yep. And especially up here in the Northwoods, people are building outside of town where you have a little bit larger lots. And, you know, it's more than a city lot to get it developed. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, homes these days, I would say are you know, kind of entry level costs. You're looking at $155 to $190 a square foot. Smaller homes tend to be a little bit higher because of those base costs associated with just getting a site developed. And then as you get a little bit larger, you know, that price will come down. You know, shape of the house can strongly affect the price, as well as the finishes. Could kind of give you a general answer. You know, if you're in that, say you have a 2,000 square foot house, you know, you can be in that 160 a square foot number. That puts you up around $320,000. You know, but also,
and that would be including the whole, I mean, that's not just you. You're not a well driller, but that would include, you know, kind of site prep, the concrete work,
okay, some of that, and that it varies. Wells can vary substantially.
Sure.
How far you're trenching, who your supplier is for electrical, and those type of things. But with that said, you know, that's entry level costs. You know, I've built homes that are anywhere from 155 to 160, all the way up to 450 a square foot.
Okay.
So the sky is the limit, and they grow quickly. You can take the same house and you can add, you know, 200,000 in your finishes easily. So
what are some of the maybe the most unexpected things that would take it from a 180 per square foot to a 400 square foot that people might not know about?
Definitely your finishes. You know, when you're buying tile or you're buying tubs or hard surface countertops, you know, a lot of the hard surface countertops are up over $100 a square foot to 150 these days. One really basic one just on the very front end is your well. We had a job where You know, I typically allowance jobs around about a 200-foot well. That covers most of what we see in Itasca County. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, they go down into bedrock. And, you know, if that happens, your well might go from $10,000 well to a $24,000 well. So, you know, you add $13,000 on right away. So,
well, at least they don't complain to you about that.
Yeah, right? And it's you know, it's no one wants to, you know, everyone wants their numbers to be low, but you got to be also realistic about mm-hmm. it too. And that's one reason that to get a lot of that stuff out of the way in the front of your job is you kind of get rid of all the unknowns, you know, your well depth, some of your excavation, you know, things like that that would potentially affect the cost of your home that might be a little bit unknown. We always try to get those out of the way in the front end of the job.
Okay. Well, excuse me for clearing my throat on air there. A lot of the new construction that I seem to see, and maybe it's because it's older folks that are looking for one-level living, is slab on grade. Mm-hmm. Is that where you kind of see the future of a lot of building going, or is that just because maybe we have an aging population here in Itasca County?
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of both. For budget purposes, you know, as you look at construction costs, a slab on grade home is definitely your most budget-friendly option.
Okay.
And then it's kind of goes up to, you know, walkouts because you kind of have three sides in the ground. And then, you know, when you start going to full basements or second stories, that's kind of where your costs will escalate more than not. But yeah, it's one is that you keep it all on one level. They're very comfortable to live in and heat. In-floor heat is just an exceptional way for to warm your house in northern Minnesota. And they perform really well and they're comfortable to live in. And the cost to finish them is relatively friendly for someone
so
that wants to retire.
So the tiers of best housing material bang for your buck would be mm-hmm. slab on grade.
Correct.
Then walkout basement, then two-story.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Assuming you're talking similar design of a home.
Gotcha. So, Sam, why is a 2,000-square-foot on-slab home less expensive than a 2,000-square-foot stacked house, two-story? What makes that second story more costly?
Yeah, it's part of it's the heating system. Okay. A slab on grade will evenly heat your house throughout. If you go to a second story or walkout, you're introducing either a fin tube or a forced air system. You introduce a floor system, which brings all your heights in your home up. So rather, as a builder, rather than working on a 10-foot roof, you're all of a sudden working on a 20 to 30-foot roof. So you need more scaffolding and you need more equipment just to finish the house itself.
So just basically your cost would be a little bit higher because of that.
It would be. There's more excavation involved,
sure.
More concrete footings, that type of work as well. So,
what are you seeing for, you know, there was a big deal made of metal roofs, mm-hmm. I guess, whatever you would call them. How's that going on and what's the cost of that versus shingles?
Yeah, there's two types of metal roofs to be aware of. There's screwed-on metal roofs, and then there's a second type, which is a blind fastener called a standing seam metal roof, and there's a couple versions of the standing seam. But basically, the screwed-on metal roofs kind of came out of the pole barn building, and it got transferred in, and people started using them in residential homes. And what can happen with those over time is those they can get shearing around the metal and the gaskets and the screws, and it can lead to a leaky roof over time. They come with you're supposed to inspect and replace your gas or your screws with your gaskets and those regularly. I don't know the exact number. I think it depends on the manufacturer of the screws. But I wouldn't recommend them for people's homes. They're great for storage garages. They're great for pole barns. But with that said, they're very cheap also. And the stand-in seam metal roofs are, it's a lifetime roof. If it's done properly, it'll basically never leak. And that's where all of your fasteners are hidden. Basically, each panel locks into the previous one to cover up all the fasteners. So you don't get any of those issues associated with the screw-down roofs. But with that said, they're very expensive. You know,
what would you say, I mean, for Mr. Cheapy Pants?
Yeah, so
not looking at myself anything here.
Yeah.
The difference between this, you know, the pole barn version with the, mm-hmm. the rubber gasket screws and the log, are we looking at twice
or
as much?
Yeah. Or shingle and yeah. shingles.
Well, so say, you know, the screwed on roof pricing I'm not as familiar with, but, you know, say shingles, you might be, depending on what shingle you pick, up around, you know, install costs around $250 to $300 a square. Standing seam roof, you know, with if you have a like a colored roof versus just a raw metal, you're probably up in that $1,100 a square range. So
okay.
Maybe about a factor of three would be a kind of a good number or a good adjustment to make.
When you say square, you're not talking square foot, you're talking square of
per
shingles.
100 square yeah, feet, okay. correct.
And I know when I've talked to some contractors about repair work or replacing a roof or things like that, certainly the complexity of the roof is where they kind of decide, do mm-hmm. I want steel? Do I want, you know, if there's a bunch of Absolutely. Gables and little archways and stuff like that.
Absolutely. The shape of the roof can make a big difference. The more valleys you have, the more dormers you have, those type of things. They require just a lot more work to apply whatever product it is, whether it is metal or it's shingles. All of those things, they add up.
That's Sam Friesen from Woodworks Homes. He's here with Jesse Davis. It's On the House. What kind of roof do you have on your house?
We did a standing seam roof.
Okay.
And I have a screw-down metal roof. Thanks, Sam.
Holy cow, I just
How often do you change your screws, Jesse?
That's a personal question, Heidi. This is Valentine's Day, okay?
Yeah.
No, but they've got those little rubber gaskets on them, and Warren and I are definitely cowboy carpenters, so we kind of know the errors of our ways, even as we build. I'm wondering, you know, I had a person that I was working with who was talking about a roof, and he was very excited about putting a steel roof on because he's like, if this ever needs to be replaced, I can directly recycle this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to worry about putting asphalt shingles in a landfill. Do you ever work with some folks that are really thinking about, you know, how can I build more, you know, a little more friendly to the environment? I mean,
yeah.
When you build a house, it can look pretty rough. You know, you're excavating and scraping mm-hmm. the soil off and drilling a well and digging a septic. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some things people might consider to be a little bit more green?
Yeah, so, you know, in the sustainable building community, it's always a topic for discussion of what is a good roof that's real sustainable. And standing seam or metal roofs are always one that comes up because you can recycle it. It's definitely one of the better routes to go. As far as other green building materials go, there's a lot of proprietary products out there these days that perform really well at doing different things like controlling moisture, insulating your house. But as far as when you're building things to do out, you know, this home that you build is going to be here for anywhere from, you know, 80 to 200 years. You know, anymore when we build a house, we pretty much are going with our 28 plus insulation in it. You know, just putting that a little bit of extra insulation makes a big difference.
So, time out, R28. Mm-hmm. What is R28?
So, basically, the R value of your walls is it's a measure of how fast the heat is leaving the home, essentially. So, the higher your R value, the lower your heating costs will be. And it's kind of a long discussion, but right now building code in the state of Minnesota, it's R21 is current building code. And
would that be like the fiberglass and a 2x6 kind of thing?
Yeah,
that's yep. a 21.
It okay. is. Yep. And with 2x6 construction, if you go with a spray foam product, you can get up to an R28, and then from there on, you're into more hybrid wall systems, whether it's a 2x8 wall or staggered studs, that type of thing. And that gets to be a really long, complicated discussion.
Well, getting more complicated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm going to ask you to have a quick soundbite on something that could probably be an hour conversation. Spray foam.
Mm-hmm.
You got people that love it, people that say, oh, my God, it's so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
What are your kind of initial thoughts?
Yeah, I've got mixed opinions about it. You can't, it performs really, really well. It's a product that gets you a really high performance wall at a relatively low cost compared to hybrid wall systems. With that said, there's some environmental aspects of it that I'm not so thrilled about. It takes a lot of energy to produce the product, and it, you know, it's if you ever need a modifier house, it's, you know, you bury, oftentimes all your wiring gets covered by this product.
Sure.
So it's hard to get at your wiring and things like that later. So there are some negative aspects of it that way, but from a performance standpoint, it's it really performs well.
So I have a question about siding. Because, man, I mean, back in the day and still to this day, a lot of people will put wood, real wood, on their houses, and that takes an extreme amount of dedication to keep it looking like it does for the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have such a thing called smart siding. What are you seeing out there? I mean, there's so many kinds of siding, but what are you seeing more commonly used?
Oftentimes, your engineered siding products, there's a number of them out there. Smart siding's one brand, Hardy.
Is smart siding, it's like, is it a wood, concrete board hybrid? What is it?
It's like a, it's not OSB, but it's a composite product that they put a proprietary finish on, and then it's, they can give it a long warranty. And some of them are embossed to have either wood grain. I know there's one out that's smooth. You know, there's another fiber cement product that LP makes called Hardy Panel.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all kinds of metal siding manufacturers as well. I would say most houses these days are going with one of the composite products for siding. A lot of people want low maintenance, and it kind of, you know, they're pretty easy to apply, and so far it seems like they're holding up, but time's always the test with that kind of stuff. You know, any company that comes out with an engineered product, they always make, you know, large warranty claims that this will last forever and it's the best product. And, you know, and it really just takes, you know, in the field testing to see if that actually happens.
You know, when I built, not me, but had a carpenter build my last house, it was the James Hardy cement board siding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you had asked my carpenter, if his price would have been higher, if he'd have known what that stuff was about, because you talk about intensive, labor-intensive cutting and dust. And mm-hmm. And I think those are kind of going away they're not as popular anymore, those cement boards or whatever.
Yeah, you don't see it around as much as you used to. But, it's, you know, each product definitely has its advantages and disadvantages.
Well, you're talking about products here, and I know, like we were talking about before when we were drinking coffee, we could talk about so many things here, and we're going to have to drag you back on, you know, mm-hmm. because there's so many questions that we have. But one of the questions I really wanted to know is, you know, what is one or two things where you want to tell your the folks you're working for, don't skimp on this? Mm-hmm. And what are some things where people can maybe like, oh, okay, I'll get vinyl windows instead of wood, or I'll get flooring mm-hmm. instead of this. What do you really want to make sure you spend good money on, and where can you flub a little bit?
Yeah, so the big things are the bones and guts of the house, I would say. Don't skimp on your boiler systems or your furnace. Don't skimp on the insulation in your walls. These are things that once they're applied, it's really hard to change later. It's possible, but it requires stripping the whole house back to the studs.
Yes.
And it's not cheap. You know, windows, I pretty much am recommending triple pane windows up here anymore. They perform so much nicer. They allow you to increase the humidity in your home a little bit without having the condensation issues. So it's a more comfortable place in the wintertime. So
is a triple window an upgrade, or if you went to get traditional windows now, they still double pane, or is a triple becoming
triple,
standard?
No, triple is an upgrade.
It is. Okay.
Most are putting in double pane, but it does lead to a more comfortable house, I believe. So
I think you wouldn't want to mess around with your foundation either, your concrete work,
yep.
man. That's your starting spot.
Yeah. Oh no, just get some go get some overburden, you know. Mm-hmm. Just grab
you want your house cracking and
yeah. You know, no, and I mean your structural. I guess it kind of goes without saying, but you want to make sure that your structure is covered, that it meets all the codes and guidelines.
Now you mentioned you really like this in-floor heat.
Mm-hmm.
You think efficiency, you think it's kind of the bee's knees. But I get a lot of people, which kind of blows my mind. I didn't grow up with air conditioning. I grew up in Colorado where it was hotter, but it was drier. We didn't have AC. It wasn't that big of a deal. But I get so many people like, there's no central air. I'm out of here.
But you can get it. Easy wall mounts and stuff now.
Yeah, there's a few different systems. They call them kind of the general name is a mini split. Basically, it's a condenser that sits on the outside of your house. And it functions very similar to a central air system. But rather than blowing air into the house, and transfer it around these, the coolant travels through the house and it goes to little fans that distribute the cold in different areas. So they're kind of.
How does the coolant travel through the house?
It's tubed through a series of insulated pipes that they basically goes to. The units are called heads, and and then as it travels through, the fan blows this cool. The air through this coolant, and it transfers it into the house.
Okay, so it is a fairly efficient way, because a lot of times when I see these heat pumps and these mini splits, it seems almost like kind of an afterthought. But if you design it correctly, it can do what a central air system could.
Yeah, they sure can, and their central air is good. The reason you would go with a mini split and a slab on grade home is because you don't typically have ductwork traveling through the house. So to put in that type of a central air system, you'd have to also install the HVAC.
Sure.
And it becomes a little bit price prohibitive. So those AC units are more cost friendly to do in a slab home.
Well, I already think that, Sam, we're going to have you back, because we're out of time here on the house. But
just start.
Yeah, exactly. And so, folks, if you're out there listening, we always encourage people to call the KAXE, KBXE talkback line, or to message us on Facebook with questions you have for the different folks that we have here on the house. So we may not get to them for a couple of months,
All right.
Sam's going to be a busy guy come building season in about a month or two.
I hope not that quickly.
Yeah, dream on, buddy. Yeah. Sam Friesen from Woodworks Homes, just kind of giving us a kind of new home construction 101 here. Thank you very much for coming on here and enlightening us.
Yeah, well, thank you.
This is the Friday Morning Show. Happy Valentine's to all of you. We heard from Ryan's. He said, shout out to my lovely lady, Summer.